Welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net or alternatively post your opinion on the Red Cafe forums.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Welcome to episode 5 of the RedCafe.net podcast. I'm Stephen Darwin, and coming up in today's show, we'll be taking a look at the United players that have been involved in international duty over the weekend. We'll have a look at the Chelsea transfer ban and whether we could possibly be next with everything going on over Paul Pogba. Dov will bring you all the info regarding an Anderson goal for the reserves. We'll preview Tottenham away coming up this weekend. And there's a lot more on top of that as well. So let me introduce my co-hosts as always. It's Dov and Dan. Dov, you've been away to Copenhagen, I believe, over the last few days.
I have indeed. I had a little holiday away in Copenhagen. Free of football, sort of. The only result I managed to see or catch was that Denmark are going to the World Cup. That was all, other than that, I have absolutely no idea what has went on in the internationals up until about 2 hours ago. So I've got a lot of YouTube to be watching and things like that. But other than that, I'm quite nice and relaxed and rare to go.
That's good commitment, really, Dov, saying you only you only arrived, 2 hours ago from Denmark, so to get you on the pod within 2 hours is pretty impressive. Dan, you haven't been away anywhere, have you? Just sunny Bolton for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, sunny Bolton. Nothing much interesting this weekend. Yeah. So how was Copenhagen, Dov?
I was very nice. A nice relaxing weekend. No football at all, apart from the fact that apparently Denmark are going to the World Cup. I had quite a lot of chants and crazy Danish people running about drunk celebrating, which is quite eventful. Other than that,
did you have any drinks?
I maybe had one or two.
Yeah, right.
You know me, Dan. I'm not one for my big drinking. You know, cranberry juice and orange juice for me all night.
Well, remember you can email us at podcast@redcafe.net, and if you haven't already, make sure you get signed up to our Facebook group too.
RedCafe.net, the leading Manchester United forum.
Well, everybody, since it was International Week and I haven't managed to see any of the games yet, I'm going to take over hosting duties. So, Steve, I'm going to put you out of a job. But I've read a couple of bits and pieces, and Bulgaria won 4-1 over Montenegro, and apparently Berbatov had a very, very good performance. Yeah, apart from 3 assists and a goal. Steve, what did you think of Berbatov this weekend?
Well, I can't confess to having seen the game sort of live on television, but I have seen the highlights, and Berbatov was absolute class. Partly because the Montenegro defence wasn't exactly great, but then again, you've got to perform in whatever's put in front of you. And yeah, as you mentioned, 3 assists sort of laid into the path of different players to finish, but the Berbatov touch was there, absolutely class. He won the penalty as well.
Did you see the penalty?
I have seen the penalty.
I'll tell you what, talk about easy. I mean, like, the way he just stroked it in, it was lazy.
But it was like Everton. It was like Everton in the FA Cup last season, wasn't it, where he sort of stepped up and looked like he didn't really want to take it. It was exactly the same for Bulgaria, but when he does put them in the net, you think...
It looks classy, yeah.
So yeah, Berbatov, absolute class. And Dov, what did you make of him coming out and saying he'll sweat blood for United?
Yeah, I'm just waiting. I'm sweating anything, to be honest. Just sweating in a general sense would be quite good. Like, he should walk before he wants to run. Yeah, it's good to see that he's saying things like that. He's saying the right things, but I'll believe it when I see it. I've seen it against Arsenal. When he ran the whole length of the park, that was fantastic. I mean, that was a whole different side of his game I'd never ever seen before. But yeah, hopefully what he says will come true, but I have my doubts.
Like you say, I think he's starting to understand now what he needs to do.
I was listening to another podcast as well.
How dare you? You were doing what?
I was listening to another one. I know. Oh. I shall remain unnamed. And they were saying, apparently Berbatov said as well, like, that some of the things that United players do in training, he would never ever think about doing. And he says the players...
Yeah, I read that. Yeah.
I was a bit like, wait a minute. I thought you were meant to be an absolutely fantastic player and amazing and not have all these skills, and then you've got people in training like Darren Fletcher teaching you things that you don't know. What's all that about? Maybe he was talking about John O'Shea. Like John O'Shea was showing what football is.
This is one guy in training who's just amazing. I'll not name him.
That's fantastic. I'll move on. Apparently England were playing Slovenia in a friendly and it was 2-1. What did you guys make of Wayne Rooney? He's your country's star performer. Apparently won a penalty as well.
Well, it was a bit mystifying to say the least. So Rooney went up to challenge the Slovenian defender and pretty much took him out. Sort of hacked into his leg. It wasn't a bad tackle or anything like that, but certainly should have been a free kick to Slovenia. And it looked like Rooney was actually appealing against being awarded a free kick against him, to be honest. But yeah. Somehow he got the penalty, and I saw himself and Gerrard having a little chuckle about it afterwards. But yeah, obviously Lampard stepped up and scored that. But yeah, Rooney, generally, he's a live wire, isn't he? He's been brilliant for United over the last few weeks since we started the season, and he's carried that form into an England shirt as well. So very impressed with him. Carrick also came on in the second half, but to be honest, it's one of those friendly games where there's not really a great deal to play for, is there? And he didn't really make that much of an impression, to be honest, but not blaming him for that at all. Just it was near the end of the game and he couldn't really do a lot. But yeah,
what did you think about the miss from Rooney when he hit the post?
I don't know.
I had a back job to score that.
I would have burst the net if I had a chance.
He was on his weaker side, but then again, let's
give over, Steve. Come on.
Let's hope he's saving him for putting him away when he's in a United shirt. But yeah, it was wasn't the most hardest chance to take, shall we say?
So, Dom, have you seen any of the Scotland goals?
I only found out the Scotland result 2 hours ago. I couldn't.
Shocked. Really?
Couldn't find it anywhere, but we won, which was good. And Darren Fletcher was captain, apparently, as well. But I'm not seeing the game, so I've no idea what happened.
I believe it. Probably one of the biggest results in Scottish
history.
Yeah.
Macedonia, come on.
No, you've got to win, though. You had to win to get... You've got Netherlands on. Are you playing on Wednesday?
Wednesday, yeah. But we won't win that. Scotland are rubbish. It's glorious failure again. We beat Macedonia and it's like, yeah, we can beat Netherlands, we'll do it, no problem at all, and then we'll go and get cuffed 4-0. That's what happened. what was the performance like for the only player that's of note, Darren Fletcher? How did he play?
I can confess to having watched the whole of that game as well. Fletcher performance, putting himself about. I wouldn't say he was outstanding by any stretch of the imagination, like he has been in a United shirt, but nothing to worry about. He didn't get outclassed or anything by the opposition, where you wouldn't expect him to, by Macedonia. I think they've got one good player, Goran Pandev, but other than that...
He looked dangerous, didn't he?
Did look good, yeah.
In fact, Gray Gordon had quite a good game. I thought he made some good saves.
Yeah.
And obviously the goal from McFadden was... everyone's making a massive hoo-ha about it, but to be fair, no one made a tackle. And the defence was so high up. What's he going to do? He's going to knock it through the legs, isn't he, and run for it. So, while he took it well, I think it was a bit sensitive of all the newspapers and stuff and radios. But, you know, that's what you get when you're on the cusp of qualifying for, what is it, the playoff?
You sound so sarcastic when you say things
it's genuine. I'd rather have everyone there. England, Northern Ireland might do it. Republic of Ireland could do it. Scotland. You know, you never know, do you?
We shall see. I've got my doubts, but we'll move on again. South Korea were in action, and Jisung Park played in a 3-1 victory over Australia. And he also set up the goal as well, I believe. Did any of the two of you catch that one?
Again, I saw the highlights of that one. I believe Park captained South Korea as well, so that's all good for him. He set up the final goal in the 3-1 victory. It was a terrific run, actually. He sort of broke away down the left-hand side and left a couple of Australian defenders for dead. But to be fair, they didn't make the greatest attempt to sort of catch him up and try and retrieve the ball. But yeah, he got down the left. He must have ran a good, 40, 45 yards and then got to the byline and lobbed it back into the box for Seol Ki-hun to head in. It was fantastic cross, fantastic run. So, yeah, all in all, Park looked like he had a very good game in that one.
But, and what do you think of him? Is you say United performances, like, because some people see him as a first team starter. Personally, I don't. What do you think? Do you think he's a key player for us or not?
Well, there's no doubting that Nani should definitely be starting at the moment. I think he's a real threat for us. Valencia still yet to sort of prove himself, I guess. He did it a lot when he was at Wigan, and he looked bright in pre-season as well, but I haven't seen him sort of do anything special in the first few games of the season. So I think there's definitely that right midfield position up for grabs. If Park wants it, then there's no reason why he can't go and grab it. I know a lot of people say he's not the sort of flair player that we need, and he's more of a worker that doesn't really excite fans, to be honest, but I think Park still does a very good job in there. I think it's difficult to play both Fletcher and Park because they both give you similar qualities. Park's a worker, obviously Fletcher's a worker, so I know they don't play central midfield together, but you can see where I'm going with that one. But yeah, probably not a starter, but there's no reason why he can't oust Antonio Valencia out the side if he doesn't up his game.
So a good squad player. Dan, have you got any differing opinions, or are you in agreement with Steve?
No, I think that he's never let us down, really, when he's played, apart from possibly in the Champions League final when he was a bit anonymous. But Barcelona, obviously, they beat us well, didn't they? But, yeah, like Steve says, I mean, I agree with him in the sense that him and Fletcher probably can't play together because, you know, they're both very basic sort of footballers, aren't they?
But like, I'm going to keep that, Dan. I'm keeping that a little bit and see. Darren Fletcher is a basic footballer. I like that.
No, you understand what you're saying. Don't mince my words, I tell you, right?
They handed world-class status to basic footballers. Darren Fletcher would be right up there, definitely.
I'll keep that as well. But a player who is genuinely world-class, played in the World Cup qualifiers, it was John O'Shea. He played for the Republic of Ireland against Cyprus.
I know that link was coming then.
Oh, it was good, wasn't it? I played it right back. Dan Gibson was also in the squad, but he didn't get on. Obviously, John O'Shea, he got a 10 out of 10 in all the papers, as he would do. That's the minimum of performance you get from him. Steve, did you see the highlights for this one?
I didn't, actually. That's where I'm hoping Dan might be able to jump in. But no, I've sort of covered my main set of fixtures that I caught a glimpse of. But I've read a bit about it, and yeah, O'Shea, sturdy at the back. Obviously, that's a great result for Republic of Ireland. That keeps up their hopes of World Cup qualification, and O'Shea obviously played his part.
I think I saw the goals anyway on Saturday night whilst I was out drinking, you know, on the little TVs in the corner. I think it was Republic of Ireland anyway, but I think the ball came across and Robbie Keane knocked it in, but he got clattered from the keeper, if I remember rightly. But yeah, it's a great result for them, isn't it?
And moving on from the great man himself, Valencia, he played for Ecuador and they got beat 2-0 off Colombia. I just want to get your opinions actually on how you feel his start at Old Trafford's been. He's not really been very, well, I don't think he's been very good, to be honest, especially for spending £17-18 million on a player. I think it doesn't seem like he is a United player. As yet, anyway, obviously I'm being very judgmental as he's only played a couple of games, but what do you think about his performances so far?
I think when you mention the price there, Dov, it's sort of when you mention the price there, Dov, yeah, that sort of, you begin to think, is he really worth that sort of money? He's got a couple of assists so far. He's hardly been our worst player, but no. I haven't seen the X factor yet from Antonio Valencia. I think Nani's started much better. I talked about it just a minute ago with Park. So I think Park's got every chance of sort of challenging Valencia for that right midfield spot. But no, he hasn't started great, but he's only just joined the club. So I'm definitely willing to give him time to up it a bit.
Indeed. And ever played for France in their 1-1 draw with Romania? Having a little bit of a tough time in that group, France are, and apparently had quite a decent game. Did you manage to catch any of that game while you were out drinking, Dan?
No, unfortunately, no, I didn't. But yeah, no, I've read in all the papers that he had a decent game, so his form's continuing, which is good because he's been a good player for us this year up to now. Yeah, I mean, I think he tailed off a little bit towards the end of last year, well, last season. And, I think he's starting to recapture his form now, which is, it's only good for us because I love to see Everett bombing on at left back. And I think it was mentioned last week in the pod. He could even get a few more goals for us this year. So, yeah, optimistic about Everett. But like you say, France having a bit of a struggle.
Sorry, Stevie, you wanted to add something?
I was just going to say, I think it's testament really to Evra's ability. I don't know injuries or suspensions. I'm not sure for France's draw there, but Patrice Evra getting in ahead of the likes of Gael Clichy, Eric Abidal, I think that sort of says that how good he really is. I mean, that's a tough spot to get into, that left back spot for France. So full credit to him for that.
Yeah, no, I think he's definitely, for me, top two or three left backs in the world. I think he's an absolutely fantastic player. He's good defensively, good going, absolutely fantastic going forward, and should be a fixture in the team for a long, long time. Staying in with the defenders, we've got John Evans played for Northern Ireland in a 1-1 draw with away at Poland, which is, that's pretty good for Northern Ireland. So obviously they had a decent game as well. Any's managed to catch anything with that one?
No, I've only read that Evans was sort of solid at the back in what is a really, really good draw for Northern Ireland. I know Poland on paper, you might say, probably not the strongest nation in the world, but to go over there and get a draw is a good result, because apparently Poland were piling forward. And Evans, obviously with his injury troubles he's got at the moment, he keeps delaying that surgery that's inevitably going to be required. So it just sort of shows the balls, if you like, that Johnny Evans has got. He's willing to throw himself in there, and he obviously wants his nation to get to the World Cup, and I sincerely hope they do as well.
What do we think about Portugal, boys?
Okay. And why Nani's not playing in that?
No, I don't know why he's not playing there. I think, you know, world's best player, apparently, well, most expensive player, won't be in the World Cup, I don't think, unless they really book up their ideas.
Do you not think that's quite, a bit of karma coming round there?
It's not his fault what Remedy paid for him, is it?
I just think it's quite, as well, Queiroz is a manager of Portugal, so do you think...
Yeah, he's struggling, isn't he?
His job will be, available in a couple of months' time, so maybe a return to the Old Trafford bench could be an offing.
I don't know how many times Carlos Queiroz needs to be sort of shown that he's not a manager. I mean, he's messed it up at Real Madrid. He's doing it again at Portugal. I mean, when are people going to realise Carlos Queiroz is better as an assistant manager? It seems crazy to me, but there you go.
It's interesting stuff. Well, that was a quick roundup of the United players that were on international duty this weekend. Obviously, some of them are on international duty on Wednesday as well.
RedCafe.net, the leading Manchester United forum.
Right, lads, I think we should move on to the next topic of the podcast. It's Chelsea's transfer ban. Not United-specific, but related, which we shall come to in a second. Basically, Chelsea have been banned from signing players until January 2011 after they encouraged Gael Kakuta to get out of his contract with Lens. I've seen some YouTube videos and stuff like that that's been on... videos that have been on TV, and it looks like a fantastic signing. But I'm just going to ask you, what do you make of the transfer ban that they've been handed?
Well, I think if they're found guilty, because there's nothing to say, sort of they might come back and with their appeal, it might be reduced or even wiped out completely. But if it is true and they have sort of illegally approached this young player, then I think that's the only way you can sort of stamp it out. There's You hand hefty fines to clubs, they'll just take that and say, well, if this player becomes the next best player in the world, then we'll take a £400,000 fine. But the only way you're really going to stamp it out is by doing this sort of thing. Chelsea not being able to sign players until January 2011 is going to hurt them, let's be honest. I know they've got a strong squad as it is, but it's an ageing squad, let's be honest. Look at the likes of Ballack, Deco, Lampard's not exactly young himself, Drogba's getting on, so... To not be able to sign players for a good couple of years should damage them, really. So, yeah, I'm fully behind FIFA's decision, but then that might come to haunt us in the future, as I'm sure we'll discuss it in a little bit.
But what happens for the club that they've stolen them off? I mean, like, do they get any sort of financial gain from it, because essentially they've still nicked a player, haven't they? So they're still in the same position, whether or not Chelsea get a ban.
I think they get like a small compensation package. We're talking hundreds of thousands, though. We're not talking millions of pounds, which someone like Kakuta, if he goes on to develop into a decent sort of Premier League player, what's he going to fetch? You look at the current market, you're looking at 10, 15 million pounds. So,
I think the sort of the fines that have been given to the player himself, and obviously like Chelsea be banned, I think that's more, it's happened, the club are getting a little bit of compensation, loans, and Chelsea have been given a punishment to therefore discourage them from doing that again in the future. And I think that's like that. That's pretty much all FIFA can do, as far as I
know. I believe they've sort of punished the player himself, though. I mean, if you were playing for Lon's youth team and Chelsea come knocking and sort of say, do you want to come and play for Chelsea? We'll give you the best facilities there is. We can promise that we'll develop you into a decent player. You're not going to turn it down, especially if it's a lot of money as well. Whether he was aware that he was sort of breaking a contractual obligation or anything like that, you don't know. But I certainly don't think it's the fault of Kakuta himself.
Mm. Yeah, well, there's like similar things have happened. The most notable one that springs to my mind is Philip Mexes, when he moved to Roma from Auxerre. He was contracted until like June 2006, and he signed for Roma, so he signed before the end of his contract. And basically, Auxerre, they said, no, you're not going anywhere, etc., etc. But he went anyway, and Roma had to pay 7 million euros, and they were banned, like Chelsea, being banned for two transfer windows as well, but they appealed it, like Chelsea are doing as well, and that got reduced to one transfer window. So I think something similar might happen to Chelsea. They might get the ban reduced. I don't think they'll get it completely taken away.
I think this is different though, Dob. How old was Mexes when he got lured away?
It wouldn't have been, he's not a teenager.
He wasn't like 15, 16 though, was he? I think that's
like 23 or 24 or something along those.
If you ask me, I mean, I don't think it's right, no matter what club you go to or what country you're from, I think to take a player away, you know, when they're like 14 from the home country, you know, away from the parents and everything else, I think it's wrong anyway. I mean, there were suggestions that they were going to put a limit on 18, but I think, you know, 16, 17 is more reasonable. But I think they should finish all like their education and stuff like that in their own countries. And then if they're still good enough, they'll make the move anyway, won't they? There was a bit in the paper saying about all the Chelsea that you know, Frank Arneson's brought to Chelsea since he was like at the club from Tottenham. Not one of them's really played for the first team. So it's reported that Abramovich has spent like 60 plus million on all these youngsters. You've not seen any of it yet. And you'd get a bit annoyed at that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think they said Kakuta, he's the great hope of the Chelsea youth team. And from what I've seen of him, he looks fantastic.
He definitely looks
fantastic. You look fantastic, Dan, so.
I'll put a video on there,
The reason this is related to United, because we signed a player called Paul Pogba from Le Havre in France, and Le Havre are a bit angry. Basically, they're accusing us of poaching the player, tapping him up, etc., etc. Apparently, and this is alleged, we offered Pogba £15,500 a month when he turns 17. It'll be next year, and his parents are also going to get paid apparently a fee of around about £85,000 a year, and also they're going to get a place to live and things like that as well. A recent development, I read this, apparently Manchester United are going to sue Le Havre, because the Le Havre president continues to make these allegations. United have said we've operated within FIFA's rules, so there's no problems, etc., etc. What do you think that it's right for us to do that, or what do you make of the situation?
We've not broke a contractual agreement, have we, with Pogba? Or have we? Was he signed up already? Or is it before he can sign a contract with Le Havre, he signed one for United, is that it?
Yeah.
That's different to the Kakuta one if he's broke his contract.
Yeah, but the thing, like what you said before, do you think he should stay in France, like, because he's young, so do you think he should stay there, sort of learn this trade with Le Havre?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously, the quality of football is probably not as good, but there's flip sides to it, isn't there? I mean, if he stays in his own country, he can probably get first team football a lot quicker. like you say, learn his trade. But if he comes to England, he can train with some of the best players in the world at a young age, and that can only improve him. Get a few games for reserves and the youth teams. He'd obviously get used to the English sort of climate as well. I know France isn't much different, but you can see, I mean, like especially the style of play and things like that. So whilst it'd be a good move for United and him, it'd also be sensible for him to stay sort of where he is. Because look, if he's going to make it, like I said before, they're going to make it anyway. You know, some of these like 13 and 14 year olds they bring over, like when are you going to see the full potential? Not when they're 14, are you? So I don't know. I think it's a bit contentious, but I don't have the answers, as you can clearly tell. So,
well, this isn't this kind of controversy isn't anything that was new to us. Apparently, we've had a couple of players that have also been embroiled in controversy. A couple of youngsters, David Petrucci. His dad apparently was offered a job as a groundsman, when he joined to help sort of entice him to Manchester. And Kiko Makeda as well. We apparently stole him from Lazio, and Lazio's president Claudio Lotito had a little bit to say about that as well. And it seems to be something that we're doing a bit more frequently. Do you think this is a good way for us to operate, or Steve, or do you think we should be leaving these players, let them develop, and then sort of buy them when they're maybe 18 or 19?
It's a difficult one, isn't it? You sort of look at it and say that you're offering the player a fantastic opportunity. I mean, his lifestyle is surely going to improve by moving to Manchester. I think the big thing is, for the smaller clubs, that's the big problem that FIFA needs to sort out. There needs to be some sort of compensation package arranged. I don't know, say the player goes on to become a decent player and a first team player, then the club should be sort of compensated in the millions. Because like, we've poached this lad, Pogba from Le Havre, and they're in Liga 2 in France. So they're sort of not a massive club. They're not going to be able to keep hold of their star players as it is. So if we go and poach a youngster that they've got high hopes for, who's to say that he's going to become an absolute world beater, and then they're left with a compensation package of, I don't know, pittance, £100,000 or something like that. So I don't think it's wrong in terms of the player, because I think they're given every chance to develop in an excellent environment. But for the smaller clubs that are sort of having to bear the brunt of this, I think something needs to be sorted out.
Well, I think Michel Platini, he's looking into that as we speak. Maybe not right this very second, but I'm sure he is. So I think there's going to be some sort of Europe-wide thing coming in very, very soon. But I think, lads, it's time to move on to features of the week.
RedCafe.net, the leading Manchester United forum.
Right, well, I've returned to take over hosting duties once again. Thanks for that, Dov. We'll have a look at reserves review now. We're not going to do Cabbage and Player of the Week this week because, well, United haven't played, so there's not a great deal we can choose from. But, reserves review, we'll start with that. And it was two matches for the reserves over the last week. We beat Wigan 2-1 and a goal for Anderson in there as well, so I'll let Dov explain that. And also, we played Motherwell in what was the Sir Matt Busby Shield as well, which were, I believe, was a 1-0 defeat. But Dov, I will leave this in your capable hands.
Well, thank you very much, Steve. It's good to be back in the usual place. Right, the reserves played Wigan, like you said, 2-1, and it was they came from behind, but to keep their unblemished start to the new campaign unblemished. The first goal for Wigan came courtesy of Thomas Chikwa, I think that's his name. I hope I've said that right. Basically, like, Cameron Stewart put a challenge and it was a bit clumsy, and Chikwa came, so it was a penalty, so Chikwa scored from the penalty spot to put Wigan up after 17 minutes. But then United scored, and guess what? Aronson scored a goal from open play on 38 minutes to make it 1-1. And then Joshua King came on in the second half, and he set up Magnus Ekrem for the winner of 48 minutes. And we're pretty good. There's a good goalkeeping from the Wigan keeper, basically prevented us from getting more goals. Basically, like Nichols, I think, was in goals for Wigan. In the second half, we basically, overran them, maybe a bit of an overstatement, but we were the dominant side. certainly at least. A couple of players of note that played as well. Fabio Da Silva started, which is good to see him back from his injury worries. Gary Neville also played. Obviously, Anderson got a start as well. So possibly his performance, which was quite decent, he might be in line for a first-team start as well. And the second reserve game was against Motherwell. And this is, like I said, was the Sir Matt Busby Shield, which commemorates the 100th anniversary of Sir Matt Busby's birth in Lanarkshire, where Motherwell hail from. Lovely Scottish side, yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna go to the Red Cafe forums for this one, because I could only find a rubbish match report. But Mr. MUJAC was actually at the game, so he's got a little match report on redcafe.net, so I'll read you bits and pieces from this. Basically, it talks about the conditions to start with. Said it was raining, and it was windy, and it was just a horrible, horrible night for a game of football. So he also goes on to say there wasn't very much good football played. But I don't know what it was like, because I wasn't here. And then he said Fabian Brandy had a chance, collected a pass from the Motherwell defence, ran through on goal, and shot past the keeper, but the defenders recovered and blocked the ball. Half-time score was 0-0. Nothing really of note in the first half. They said in the second half, we were unable to create anything, and so I kept passing the ball across the middle. Motherwell took lead with a goal down the right-hand side, and it says one of the forwards put it in, and the forward was Giles Koch, who scored the winner for Motherwell. It goes on to say Motherwell, obviously, they're a more experienced side, and in terms of individual performances, Ben Amos in goal was probably the best player, which I think says a lot as well. And it says James Chester was solid at the back. It also goes on to say Fabio was caught out of position a few times as well. So the defence, good bits and good points and bad points in it as well. And it also says that Morrison was showboating and he kept losing the ball. So less than that, Mr. Morrison. But yeah, so a nice trophy to play in the Sir Matt Busby Shield. I know. Even though we didn't win, I like to see commemoration matches like that. Gives you sort of the sense of respect that Sir Matt Busby has in the footballing world. But yeah, that is reserve review for this week. Hopefully next week it'll be a lot more in depth, as I'll get to watch games properly.
Well, thanks a lot for that, Bob. And I think it's worth noting as well, Mr. Mujac, or MUJAC. Not sure how he likes that pronounced, but yeah, it's great to sort of have an insight from someone that was actually at the game and watching it live. We are working on getting Tony or Mr. Mujac on the show next week, so stay tuned for that, and we may have even more insight from him.
Redcafe.net, the leading Manchester United forum.
Guys, Zoran Tosic, he wasn't in the reserve side for the last two games. He's not in the Champions League squad that's been announced for the first team, and he wasn't in the Serbia under-21 squad either, so what on earth has happened to him? It's like he's disappeared off the face of the planet or something. If anyone does know the whereabouts of one Zoran Tosic, then contact us, Red Cafe, podcast at redcafe.net, or indeed get in touch with Sir Alex Ferguson or Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Guys, what is going on there? Where is he, Zoran Tosic?
I just don't think he's good enough. I think that people have realised that he's not big enough. People go on about his pace, but I don't think he's electric. Obviously, he's got a nice delivery on him and a good left foot, but apart from, you need more than that, don't you, in the game? So maybe we bought him with the other lad, Adam. Is it how do you pronounce it?
Lechic.
Right. Okay. Oh, sorry. I'm from Bolton, Dov. I went to the Valencia game, the pre-season game, and he looked a bit timid. Really, he's probably a bit nervous. But yeah.
He's only a young lad though, Dan, come on. I mean, Fergie's paid money to bring him in, and he's, why can't he even, obviously I don't think it's a case of him not being good enough yet. He's surely good enough to get in the reserves anyway. Maybe he's
not settled in as United would have hoped, but it is interesting how Obertan's in the Champions League squad and he's not even fit yet, so
I reckon you could be right there. Perhaps it's something to do with him not being settled in England, and he's sort of been given leave of absence to go back to Serbia for a couple.
Well, maybe it'll all improve when his mate comes over in January, and then they can sort of settle in together then, can't they, sort of thing. So,
when I seen Tosic play last season in the reserves, he looked fantastic. He was one of the star players for the reserves, so...
I agree.
That might have all been sort of like, you know, adrenaline sort of thing, going to a new club, and it's, I think it's, might have found, I don't know, I don't, obviously.
He's not just going to get dropped completely, is he, out of the first team squad, the reserves? He's not just going to get banished away from the squad unless he's, A, he's done something wrong and he's sort of fallen out with Ferguson, or B, like you say, he's unsettled and needs a bit of time away from the club. You don't know. But I don't agree that it's anything to do with his quality. I think he's definitely got potential and he's still a young lad, so I don't think it's anything to do with that at all.
It'd be interesting to see what happens with him. I had high hopes for him this season as well, but he'd be one of the players to break through after a good season with the reserves. So.
Well, let's move on to the email section of the show now. We've only got a few emails to get through, so it shouldn't be too long. A big shout out to the Manchester United Supporters Club in Brazil. They've got in touch with us and they've actually sent us a clip of a song that they've created. And I believe now we're going to give you a little taster of that, a 10-15 second taster. So here it is for you.
Red faith across the oceans, sing Brazilians full of pride. Red faith across the ocean, red souls in endless joy. Red faith across the oceans, sing Brazilians full of pride.
Well, that was Red Faith Across the Ocean, a song created by the Manchester United Supporters Club in Brazil. So thanks a lot for that, guys.
That was lovely, wasn't it?
Interesting.
Very soothing, wasn't
Something
it?
Something different, anyway. Yeah.
Something different to your voice, anyway, Dan.
My dulcet tones.
Dan's voice is like honey.
Is it? Go on, how do you mean? Go on, please explain yourself.
It's lovely and smooth and sweet, don't you think?
Really? Oh, okay, I think, yeah, well... Nice job, honestly, Ramirez.
Right, well, Ben Bunnell.
Dom, have you got my number?
I don't know, but this could be arranged once we're done.
Right, I'm going to leave you two to it, and I'm going to carry on with the show, guys. Ben Bunnell, he can't understand why we didn't spend more of the £80 million that we got back from the Ronaldo transfer, of course. Obviously, the likes of Karim Benzema, Wesley Schneider... Arjen Robben, they've all moved on and have all been potentially could have been decent players for us. Obviously Benzema, Ferguson admitted that he did try and go for him, but the lure of money and fame of Real Madrid was just too much for him to turn down. Guys, what do you think about that? Should we have gone out and bought another world-class centre midfielder perhaps? You've both mentioned in previous shows that you would have liked to have seen that, but do you not think we're set with the current set of players we've got in the squad already?
No. I think we needed to buy somebody, whether it be Frank Ribery or just somebody for that, to add something to the centre midfield. I think we need that, we lack that. I think the performances that we've seen so far have showed that we're just not quite there as what we have been in the last couple of seasons. We're not the same team, we're definitely weaker. But with regard to why he didn't spend the money, Ferguson isn't the sort of manager that will go and splash £40-50 million on a player unless he feels it's the right price. He doesn't like to pay too much over the odds. Obviously, you've got the United tax, as they call it. But I don't think he likes to pay too much over the odds, and that's why he's not, like, Ribery's not left by him. And he can, apparently, we put in our bids of 60-70 million euros, I think. And he won't pay over the odds, and that's why the money's still sitting there. But apparently, he is able to use it, according to the Glazers. So when the time's right, that money will be spent, I think.
Yeah, there's no point bringing in a player, though, that doesn't want to play for you as well. I mean, if we'd have bought Frank Ribery for how much, like 50 million or whatever, no, he doesn't really want to be at United, does he? So what benefits that?
He's always said he wants to play in Spain, so...
Exactly, so what's the point buying another player that just wants to play in Spain? You might as well just, you know, we've got a decent enough squad. I remain hopeful that we can win the league. But it's up to them players now if Ferguson's put his faith in. You know, Valencia, I'm sure he'll come good in the next few months. players like Nani as well and Anderson are going to step up, hopefully. You got little Mickey Owen as well, so I think we're doing all right.
So he's only been here for like a few months. You've already given him a little nickname, Dan. I like it.
Well, Zahid Ali got in touch with the show as well. I hope I got that pronunciation right. He wanted us to discuss the Paul Pogba case and whether we thought we'd be in trouble over that. So hopefully, if everyone's been listening up to now, they would have known that we've already discussed that earlier in the show. So, yeah, thanks a lot for the email, Zahid. Yeah, that's the emails for this week. And let's move on to preview Tottenham away on Saturday before we close the show. Massive game, isn't it, guys? Even bigger than what it would have been last season, because obviously Tottenham flying now. They're going to be really tough to beat, aren't they? Look at the form of the likes of Aaron Lennon, Jermaine Defoe. It's going to be a really tough game. In terms of team news, Rio Ferdinand may return. Personally, I don't think he will be thrown in. I think he'll go with Vidic and perhaps Brown again. But we shall see. How would you line it up, guys? Could Anderson even earn a recall after that that goal for the reserves?
It's a bonus that Modric is injured. He's a good little crafty player for Tottenham, isn't he? But like you say, they've got a good squad. They'll be buzzing as well. Defoe's scoring a few goals still. Robbie Keane obviously got one for Ireland. So yeah, they'll be well up for it. I'm not sure about Anderson yet. I think he could make the bench. But I'd definitely, in terms of strikers, I'd play Berbatov alongside Rooney.
I think Berbatov has to return, to be fair. I couldn't believe it that he wasn't playing against Arsenal and having done what he's done for Bulgaria midweek on the weekend as well. Barring injury or anything like that, I think Berbatov will definitely be in the starting.
It depends whether he goes 4-4-2 though, doesn't it? As opposed to 4-3-3 or 4-5-1. So
it's former club though. Surely that'll be an incentive.
Him and Carrick. Yeah, I'd like to see Carrick play. I still think he uses quality. He might even be. He's going through a bit of a bad time at the moment, but he still does the simple things well. And like we say, he came on for England in the second half.
RedCafe.net, the leading Manchester United forum.
Well, that's just about it for episode 5 of the RedCafe.net podcast. Make sure you get in touch with us via the email podcast@redcafe.net. Alternatively, I say this every week, but it's a bit obvious, go on the RedCafe.net forums to post your opinion as well. We hope you enjoyed the show this week, and if you did enjoy it, make sure you come back next week for episode 6.